to Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
All righty, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic edition of Saturday AM Live. This is your host, Vance Rogers, and today we have a fantastic special guest with us, Dr. Ken Howiuk. And I've worked long and hard and had special tutoring on how to pronounce his name properly. Did I do okay, Ken?
Perfect.
I'm not a linguist. However, I do work very hard on treating people with respect in regards to their name. So, Dr. Howiuk has been a longtime friend of Niken's, and even longer in the medical profession as a podiatrist, as a ankle and foot surgeon, and his passion. And this has been true in the couple times that he's been a guest of ours here in the city of Portland. His passion is prevention of anything that's relating to bone health as far as keeping us off drugs, number one, I would say. And number two, just simply giving us the ability to utilize what's found in nature, the solutions that God provides, and most of these are common sense solutions. And Ken, you've authored a couple books. What are the titles of those books again? Remind me. I have one sitting here on my desk in my pile.
Well, as you know, I'm a podiatrist. My first book was called My Foot is Killing Me. And my current book that I'm promoting just came out is Bone Health Made Easy.
Okay. And before we get into a lot of the solutions, the things we can do, let's talk a little bit about your background. Why did you want to go into the field of podiatry? And let's go down that first.
Well, it all went back to when I was at Arizona State University, and I seemed to spend a lot of time in one of the offices and was studying my career and as to what I really wanted to do. I think I was a freshman at the time and wasn't absolutely certain, and I did a lot of reading, and I spent a lot of time in this one book called the Occupational Outlook Handbook put out by the federal government that many people are familiar with. So it was a thick orange book, I remember, and went to every single profession, and I knew that I wanted to be in the medical profession, and I knew I wanted to be a healthcare provider. I also was an ambulance driver, an EMT at the time. I knew that I wanted a specialty care profession and something that was underserved. And the more I learned about feet, the more it interested me. It just seemed too good to be true. I had everything I wanted. At that time, there was sort of a running craze. And I remember podiatry was very underserved in the 80s. And it interested me. I didn't know anybody who was a podiatrist. I went and witnessed him do a surgery, this one gentleman in Phoenix, and I was absolutely astounded by what I saw and what I learned, and it captivated me.
So really, I like I don't know if you used the word fascination for feet, but that's just what I scribbled down.
That's actually in the end, it's people, and it wasn't feet that interested me. It's that I can help people in that manner. I knew that I didn't want to get woken up in the middle of the night for a bunionectomy, and that did not seem very likely.
Well, and two, I mean, if we don't, as a human being, since we spend most of our time vertical and our feet are our mode of transportation, if they're not working, then obviously, and as you just said, being able to help people and not get out of, or to be able to get away from that crisis management of being an ER doc versus, you know, when people have a foot problem, they're going to schedule an appointment. So there's a huge, huge difference in there.
That's right.
You said you were started in Arizona, at University of Arizona?
Arizona State University.
Arizona State. Okay.
In Tempe. But I'm actually from Tucson, where the University of Arizona resides, and had many of my classes at the University of Arizona. But no, I graduated from Arizona State near Phoenix.
And then I know you spent a good portion of your time in the wonderful, beautiful paradise state of Hawaii. How did you end up there?
Well, having practiced for about 7 years in Tucson, near where my folks live, because at that age I needed the security to know that I was going to be able to do the business of medicine. I knew that I loved what I was doing, and the field interested me. I'm sure at that time I had the confidence in running a practice from a business standpoint that I could always move back in with my parents if I had trouble. That was behind my reason to practice back where they were in Tucson. And my wife and I were there for 7 years, and I had my two little girls with me. And now, after about 7 years, we decided we wanted to live in Hawaii. We'd made a few trips there, and it just got better and better every time we went. It always interested us. I loved Hawaii. I still do. And I had a gentleman from Detroit, a podiatrist, that wanted to purchase my practice. I had built it up three times from where it began. I took it over from a podiatrist who had practiced for 51 years. So I knew how to build a practice, and I could do it again. So I figured if I didn't make that move with my family at that point, it was going to be harder later. So we jumped at it and moved to Honolulu, where I started it up from scratch again.
Okay, and how long were you in Hawaii before you transferred to where you guys are at now in the Bay Area?
15 years.
Okay. Okay, so the bulk, I think it's safe to say the bulk of your career then was in Hawaii. And
that's right.
You discovered while you were in Hawaii, that's where Niken crossed your path, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And was that just a profound fascination with Japanese magnets, or was that...
You know, it came about because of my interest in treating diabetics and doing my best with helping to resolve neuropathy, and it was always a struggle for a podiatrist, and it still is. I received something in the mail one day from a lady by the name of Rachel Simon, who's apparently, and she tells the story often, she had sent out a letter and information on the MagSteps, including the famous Weintraub study out of the Archives of Physical Medicine, and included that with her letter, and apparently she sent it out to, I think, 72 doctors in Hawaii who treat diabetics. I think that included endocrinologists and podiatrists and internists. And she said only one person had, in the end, had actually read the article, and apparently that was me. But I was very interested in what I was seeing in front of me, which apparently was something that could help my diabetics, that could resolve the pain, or at least improve the pain, tingling, and numbness of a diabetic foot, which I didn't have anything for, and most podiatrists don't, and many of us think there's very little that can be done for them. So then this was terrific. Here we were talking about something that didn't do any harm. It was basically just an insole, wasn't even going to interfere with the arch supports and orthotics that I use. It could actually be used in conjunction. So no disadvantage, seemed reasonable in cost, that it could only do good and no harm. So I needed to see what these things look like, and I call her up, ask her to come in and let me look at them. And she not only did that, she came in, discussed them in detail with me, let me wear a pair for a while. I loved the way they made my feet feel, and I was inspired by what I could possibly do for my diabetics. So I know if you can do that sort of thing for a diabetic foot, that's quite a trick. If you can reduce pain, tingling, and numbness of a diabetic foot, you can certainly do it in a non-diabetic foot.
Okay,
so,
and did you know Rachel before this?
No, I did not.
Okay, so note to self here, folks, if you're listening here, we're always afraid as wellness consultants, and Ken, I know you would attest to this, that sometimes we're afraid of reaching up. But, you know, you just stated Rachel didn't know you at all. She sent out 70-some letters, and you responded, and... Was it worth those 70 stamps? Well, I think it probably was, because I'll bet you created quite a bit of business for her over the years. And not that it's all about business, but how many people's lives have you been able to impact on a side note that, as you said, with it wouldn't interfere with the traditional treatment of the way diabetics were dealing with the feet issues that they deal with? And
well, it began a process for me that got me more and more excited. But it all began with that, and I guess 1 out of 72 doesn't seem like much of a success, but I think if you would ask Rachel today if she's glad she did it and if it was worthwhile, I think she'd say absolutely, because you know, I've been with Niken for many years, and it certainly have helped thousands of people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that was how many years ago, Ken?
That was in year 2001.
Okay, 2001. So how did you shift from that, and I guess maybe it really wasn't a shift, but there was a definite interest in treating diabetics, and you get this letter from Rachel, and you enjoy the results that you're having with the insoles with your own feet. Now let's fast forward to today, and in my experience with you, started with a phone call from Alan Fujioka and Kathy, who are dear friends of ours, and he said, "Hey Vance, I'm going to have this guy call you, and he's looking at ones to come to Portland, and it would be worth your while to hook up with him." And that was kind of my introduction to you. And when you came up and you did some bone density scans, and the response we got from people was just phenomenal. And how did you transition from doing the treatment of diabetics to more specifically? But you've never, I guess, if you're working in the field of podiatry, you're always focused on bones, anyways, because that's the nature of our feet. But what was there a definite transition? Where you're focused?
Well, I guess I'd always had an interest in prevention. I used to have a radio show called Footnotes, and with the book that I wrote, it was always my interest to make people independent, and I thought it was always the honest thing to do, to try to teach them what I knew and not to keep secrets. And I think in many ways, healthcare providers have certain things that they can relate to people that you could consider them tips or even secrets, and I don't think they should be withheld. I think we need to get word out to people to help, so they can help themselves. Well, my introduction to Niken, I have to tell you, has affected me profoundly. I mean, for one thing, the woman I'm married to is my wife, simply because I met her through Niken. My entire practice after Niken was profoundly affected. I started feeling a lot better about what I was doing, and I was inspired by what was available. In fact, there are things I was introduced from Niken that most podiatrists, even to this day, have no ideas out there. A lot of them relate to the foot and to foot conditions that we can help. So I started comparing them to many of the standard remedies that I was using in the office, surgically, non-surgically, injection, prescription, cortisone shots, and quite frankly, I was getting better results with a lot of the Niken modalities, including the CM cream and the magnetic and far infrared body energizer that I was putting people's feet on while they're waiting for me to treat them. And then I ended up resolving their problem as they're waiting for me.
So you're kind of putting yourself out of business if you're wanting
exactly. Exactly, but you know what? I could sleep at night, literally. You know, for many reasons, I could sleep at night. But I felt good about what I was doing.
I guess I think about it from the perspective, because I never went to med school. You know, as a volunteer firefighter, there's a lot of training that we go through, and a continual training process and certification and whatnot. But there is that oath that you take that. Our job here is to make other people's lives, you know, better. We have a core philosophy, and if it's broken, burning, or hurting, we're here to help.
There you go.
And,
exactly. And you know what? Yeah.
And so for you, as you just said, that you found yourself often getting faster results or more results, or being able to treat people better with what Niken had to offer, those solutions, then the common Western medicine mindset is, and I have nothing against it because there is time and a place for it, but it's always quick to prescribe this next drug and you know, inject this and do this treatment and rub this on this, but there's always side effects with that because they're not really found in nature.
Vance, there was never a day that I was not cognizant of that oath that I took, knowing that the oath that I took pledged that I would not do any harm. And I think doctors don't look at that as often as they need to, because we take risks. We sometimes have to, and sometimes we don't have to, and yet we still can take those risks, and they can yield results that we didn't want to happen, and they can do harm. They can. They can indeed do harm, and harm is done regularly in medicine, inadvertently. I was never unaware of the fact that I took that oath. I felt great with what I was doing with NECAN because it was subscribing to the promise that I made. And I was feeling good about the fact that I was only helping and I was doing no harm. And I was actually offering remedies that were working better than what I was using before. Now, it did evolve to the point where I really wondered whether I should be telling people to do what I wouldn't be doing. If I was asked to write a prescription, would I be writing that for myself? Did I really feel that that was in the patient's best interest? That really pervaded my practice over a period of time where I got to the point where I was telling people, you know, I'm going to write this prescription, but I'm not sure I would take it. And I felt very strange doing that. And it became a bigger and bigger deal. And I was writing prescriptions every time I was writing them. And I knew there was a NECAN alternative to them. And I'd say, you know, I'm going to write this. And, you know, would I take it? I don't think so. And it became crazy. And I got to the point where I couldn't fake it anymore. It was nuts. So I figured I've been doing podiatry at that point for 22 years. Probably, I think it was 12 years longer than I said I was going to be in medicine. I was going to do something else after a while. But I was still in it 22 years later. I figured, well, maybe now's the time to make that change. And I don't have to fake it anymore. It just takes too much energy to act like an allopathic doctor when I'm not sure I was anymore.
Okay. And you know, what you're saying is, I've had this conversation and I've interviewed so many medical professionals over the years, and I think of, you know, Dr. Jim Buse and Dr. Melanie Caldwell, and they may not have said it the exact same way as you just did, but they got to that point where writing again that next prescription, or even having, and I've talked to others who have had their prescription pads pre-printed with certain drugs, so because it was such a common thing and a common as cure-all, when it really wasn't, that would just open the door for them getting addicted to many other things,
sure.
And it really wouldn't solve the problem. It wasn't the root, but that is what was the common thing. Ken, I'm really, really fascinated because in your book, again, the one that I lost in my stack, my piles on my desk here, on the back of it, one of the transition points for you recently was the passing of your own mom to,
right,
as a result of osteoporosis. And is that kind of what really sent you into the direction where you're going now? Or is that?
Well, I'd have to say it probably fueled it. I'd always had, I guess, an interest, or you could call it a frustration, in the fact that podiatrists weren't doing as much as they could for something that they were first line in the treatment for. I mean, we were seeing postmenopausal women. We were seeing many people with stress fractures, otherwise healthy individuals, people who were the weekend warriors, the weekend athlete. And we were seeing these stress fractures when we just do a radiograph and we clearly see that their bone was washed out. They had osteoporosis. If I were to order a DEXA scan at that point, I would see that they clearly had it and needed to be managed for it. They needed to learn the proper measures around healthy lifestyle to resolve it. And I didn't have anybody to hand them off to. No one else in the community seemed to have that much of an interest in osteoporosis. There were no osteoporosis doctors. But we podiatrists were seeing them. And I think a lot of them, including my own, had no place to go after they were identified. I wanted that person not to have to come back for another stress fracture if we could help it. And I knew we could, if we could address the osteoporosis to begin with. So that was always a frustration for me. Where are the doctors I can send these people to? And to this point, I don't think we have those doctors.
And statistically, so people are aware, it's 1 out of 2 women over 50, and it's 1 out of 4 men over 50, correct?
That's right. And it's actually more common for a man to have osteoporosis than it is for a man to have prostate cancer.
Okay, so this is pretty staggering. It's 25% of men over the age of 50, and so immediately I think as a 43-year-old, well, I'm not even close to 50. I mean, 7 years away is pretty close. But I had that argument from several of my friends that I wanted to invite to come hear you speak. And I said, well, I'm a long ways off of that, and I think I can take my chances, which is really an arrogant way of, you know, I'm going to just turn a blind eye or stick my head in the sand and ignore this. But you share some pretty, just not graphic, but startling facts about bone health that our culture, I mean, let's just talk about, and most of us listening right now know that pop, that soda, that carbonated beverages are bad. but then you've got the sports drinks that are just as acidic, and then you've got all these other things that we're consuming and we're putting in our bodies on a regular basis that are really tearing down our bones.
That's right. And you and I talked about that. If you were to design the perfect formula for making your bones weak or worse, it would come very close to being soda.
And I know that Dr., or not Dr., but Roger Drummer, I always want to call him a doctor, but I mean, he is in his you know, credentials in a sense, but he said for a male that drinks, that consumes pop, they consume in their lifetime an average of 52,000 cans of soda for a pop drinker, and which is amazing. But that's just for that category. But what does that acid do? And so can we talk about that? What does that do? Now, maybe we're not doing that. Maybe we're not drinking soda. We said, well, okay, we're smart enough not to do that, and we're smart enough not to give, you know, into the diet whole thing. But what about some of the other things that we can do that is tearing, that does, or that will tear down and hurt our skeletal system? What are some of those, you know, evils that are out there maybe that we should try and avoid?
Well, it's anything that our body wants to fight. And now, why is soda a problem, for example? And it goes way beyond it just being an acid type of substance where you have phosphoric acid, you have sugar that brings about acid, you have caffeine, all of which are risk factors. You put all that together, and that's one chunk of acid that your body now has to fight. And whether it's toxins, whether it's a high degree of red meat, it's things that our body needs to neutralize. So when we receive something that is acid or becomes acid in our system, what does our body need to do? It needs to neutralize it. It needs to neutralize it with the opposite, which is basically alkalinity. And so our body needs to buffer it. It needs to actually make Tums, essentially. It needs to use calcium in order to neutralize it in our bloodstream, because our body won't let its system go too far in the direction of a low pH. Our body will quickly buffer it, so it uses elements in order to do that, which is calcium. So, of course, where does calcium come from? It comes from our bones. Our organs, when they require calcium, will steal it from the bones. Our bones are mineral banks. So anytime our body needs to fight something, it's fighting it typically with acid, but then it has to neutralize it, and neutralizes it with the calcium that comes from our bones.
Okay. And one of the greatest ways, as you mentioned, anything that we put in our body does have to fight it, to buffer it off. And that, I don't want to keep referring back to things that Roger Drummer said, but, and this will be my last point from his, but he said, you know, what's killing our culture is our overconsumption of red meat, you know, beef and pork. And it's because our body has to work so hard. And, of course, I've lost a few people on the call right now because of our love affair with that.
Yeah.
We think, well, we're adults. We should be able to eat what we want, and it's plentiful, and God gave it to us, and if we're not supposed to eat it, God wouldn't have put it here on the earth. Not true. There's a lot of plants out there that God put on the earth, and we don't run out and eat them. I mean, that's foolish.
Sure. Well, I think you touched on the fact that the key word, I guess, is excessive. And I think most people can understand the need for moderation. Most people can resonate with moderation, because that's what it comes down to. You don't want to do a lot of something that our body has to fight. You don't want to be excessive with caffeine. You don't want to be excessive with sodium. You don't want to be excessive with animal protein. So it comes down to something that's, that basically entails moderation.
Now, you say animal protein. Let's address the myth that's out there that, well, calcium is good, so I need just to eat more dairy, cheese, yogurt.
Sure. Well, Nikan did a wonderful thing, and that is to find the important elements of what essentially comes from dairy. Lactoferrins that are purified, isolated. We're talking about the lactoferrin 1.8 gold. We're talking about the other lactoferrin, which is the enriched lactoferrin, osteoferrin, which we know as osteodense. These are lactoferrins that come from dairy sources, but they're isolated and purified from what we would find in colostrum or mother's milk, without all the other unnecessary things, some of which are actually harmful. Some are environmental and involve toxins. take the good stuff out, leave the bad stuff away. I mean, we don't want the bad stuff in our body. So it isn't dairy, dairy, dairy. It's getting the essential things that our body is actually making. Nikan was clever, Dr. Naidu was clever enough to know that our body makes certain things, and if we can get those particular elements out of dairy, well, then we can make dairy work for us. But if we think it's dairy, 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 willy-nilly, without giving much more thought to that, then we're going to make our problems worse, because we are the dairy-consuming country. A lot of the countries who don't consume a whole lot of dairy seem to have less of a problem with osteoporosis. I mean, the dairy industry has had decades to solve this problem, and quite frankly, they've failed miserably at it. It isn't dairy, dairy, dairy. It's getting those things that our body makes ourselves, and as a product of aging, in response to emotional and physical stresses that we make less of, take an anti-aging component of something that's endogenous, our body makes it, and get those items out of dairy, as Dr. Naidu has done for us, and that can make those elements work for us rather than against us.
Now, Ken, you've tested a lot of people in the last few years using a bone density scanner that it's a simple process. You put your ankle into it, and it gives an accurate reading. And you had stated when you first came to Portland and shared that there's a difference in bone density scanning. However, if you get a referral from your doctor to go have a bone density scan, you're looking at $1,200 to $2,000, somewhere in there. I think that's right. Those are the figures you use. And you kind of do it on a donation basis for $20. And I'm looking at my bone density scan, which I was pleasantly surprised because of, as a 43-year-old, I've really, especially in the last few years, I've really wanted to make sure. I'm not a pop drinker. On a rare occasion, I may have a root beer with pizza because it's just something as a kid that I picked up. But there are certain things that we can do to strengthen our bones. Now, I love the way you segued and brought in the solution that Nikan, courtesy of Dr. Naidu, has given us, that when you're in a situation like my mom, who a few years ago was full-blown osteoporosis, another dear friend, and why his name just slipped me, Don Ferris, in his 80s. And I watched him several months ago when he was reading the results of the scan that you did for him with tears well up in his eyes because he was full-blown osteoporosis. And to see the results that have transitioned because of Nikan's solution. So I want to first talk about that as you just brought it up, and ask, what are some of the things that you've seen as far as people's lives turn around in a matter of a few months' time, 90 days? I like the way that a nurse friend of ours, Barb Satterwhite, says, you know, in 90 days with the Bone Health Trio, you will see a significant turnaround. Has that been your experience?
That has, Vance, and it's interesting. I think my greatest purpose, perhaps, is identifying those people who score poorly. But you know what? I'm a human being, and I have to tell you, I enjoy getting good news. I really enjoy doing Geekant events because that's where I can reliably give good news, and that includes your mom. And it's nice when I can have an emotional connection with someone, but it's wonderful to see their results get better. And yes, I've seen the results in as soon as 3 months. In fact, my wife showed a result even quicker than that. 3 to 6 months is typically what I'll see with osteodents improving their T-score. It's a lot of fun, and in comparing that to a DEXA scan, where typically X-rays are used, and basically I'm using a non-radiation form, there's no hurdles to clear. A person does not have to spend a whole lot of money doing it. They don't have to worry about insurance coverage. Basically, my method shows bone quality. DEXA scans will oftentimes be skewed by an accumulation of dead, dense bone, which seems to fall into place quite well for those who are selling bisphosphonates that show a skewed result, when dead, dense bone, accumulated dead, dense bone, isn't really what you want to be measuring, and thus giving a false indication of improvement. Mine shows a little bit better of what is true quality bone, and it's practical, and allows me to be able to monitor people much more often, and to allow them to be more engaged in their progress.
And it's very simple. Again, no scheduling of appointment, just pitch up, and a few minutes later, boom, there's a reading, and away we go. And the two gentlemen that I brought with me the last time you were in Portland were like I was, pleasantly surprised. We were kind of in the same age bracket, different lifestyle, different backgrounds. But for somebody who is in that, that red category of this is bad, you need to take some drastic measures, the Bone Health Trio is a solution. And if people say, I don't want to spend that kind of money, okay, well, then you're running a great risk of having stuff happen in the bad. For people who are, in the thinning or the low or even into the normal range, what are some of the things that we can do in the prevention side? Because I'm never arrogant enough to say that, okay, yep, Nikan is the solution for everything. What they've provided since 1975 is the end-all, cure-all for everybody. Because I just will never be that arrogant. I can't.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad you explained it that way, Vance. Because, we Nikan Independence Wellness Consultants have an opportunity to help people in a great way. And we have more credibility when we're telling the entire story. And we know more than most people do. We should use that knowledge base, give comprehensive information that is absolutely true. And one example of that would be to tell people that their weight-bearing, weight-resistant exercise, in addition to them taking the Bone Health Pack, would yield a tremendous result and is basically the right thing to do. We're talking about walking. Walk, walk, walk. I tell people, if you get tested, you walk, 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 you take your Bone Health Pack, and then you get tested a few months later, and with all things being the same, you can't not get better. That's a comprehensive approach. Because just the Bone Health Pack alone almost completes the program. A lot of people don't realize that in there is not just two types of lactoferrin that make your bones stronger, but you have 1,300 international units of vitamin D. You actually have an assortment of six minerals. You have a very well-rounded delivery, absorption, and transport system. Try to find that anywhere else. And then you couple that with walking and eating right. You can't not get better.
And I like the way you stressed it. And Mom and I were discussing this after we both been scanned. And she said, well, Vance, maybe all those years of you frumping around, because she always said of her three sons that I was the one that she always knew when I was upstairs. If it was, she had to guess. She knew it was me, because I always walked the heaviest. And I said, so Mom, all those years, maybe that's been to my advantage, because that, as you said, weight-bearing exercise of just simply walking in that. Why is it that the pounding, or not, so maybe that's not the right word to use, but why is it that coming down in on the bones, why is that strengthen them, Ken?
That's a good question, Vance, and I'm glad you asked this, because this is where it's helpful for people to communicate, and in the talks I give, I make it very clear as to what that pounding is really all about, and why it's more than just saying it's exercise. In fact, it's more than weight-bearing and weight-resistance exercise that you would basically find on the National Osteoporosis Foundation website. It's really not that simple either. Now, weight-bearing would include standing. Standing does no good for your bones. And weight-resistance and weight-bearing don't mean that much to certain people. And podiatrists will often say, well, it's impact. It's about your feet hitting the pavement. It's about the impact of your feet in the ground. But what we have found of late is that it's really more than that. It's that shockwave. It's low-intensity vibration that occurs with impact, with each and every step, that goes all the way to the top of our skeleton. Now, that's important. That's important to know, because there are technologies coming down the pike. Maybe in as soon as 6 or 12 months from now, there are a couple of companies that are trying to clear FDA approval to have machines for the elderly and disabled who can't do that walking, who can be standing on it as if they were standing on a weight scale while they're brushing their teeth, and for as little as 10 minutes can get that low intensity vibration and get that result that we would all be getting from walking. We need to help everybody, including the people who can't do the things that we're telling them to do. So it's more than exercise, more than weight bearing. It's more than impact, even. It's that shock wave.
Okay. And again, we can derive that those of us who are able to walk, it's a simple solution to get out there and do that. Real quick, and I'm being sensitive of your time, as well as everybody else's. There are certain things that we can put in our mouth. Now, we already addressed what would be a good thing to eat in moderation or not in excess, or even maybe try and trim them out of our weekly, monthly diet. What are some of the things that we should see an increase? If we want to see a change for the better, what would be some of the key things that we should eat more of?
Well, you want to key in on the foods that are high in minerals, high in antioxidants, that have high alkalinity, and to some degree omegas. So how do we know what foods have minerals? Well, by and large, it's seeds, nuts, and green leafy vegetables. Well, how do we know whether it's antioxidants or not in that food or that drink that we're taking in? Well, it's color. It's pigment. It's what gives food and drinks, vegetables and fruits and all a color. Those colors typically are what nature gives little delicate berries and things the protection that they need against the elements, which we then assume or consume when we take them in to have our own protection against aging. Antioxidants are anti-aging, especially as it relates to bone health. So we talked about minerals and what foods have. I'll just give you one interesting example. Sesame seeds are chock full of calcium, more so than even collard greens, which are number one for green leafy vegetables, followed by kale and broccoli. Spinach is way down there because it has an oxalate form of calcium that our body can't utilize that much, along with asparagus. It's good to know the foods that have usable calcium. But, sesame seeds are a good example. And for those people who are not vegetarians, well, you want to eat bones. You want to eat sardines and anchovies where you're actually eating the bones of the fish in a dissolvable form. That's the type of calcium that we can use. So there are some examples of foods that give us benefit. Now, by the way, vitamin D is difficult to get from a food source. We're getting it from the Bone Health Pack. It's difficult to get from our foods. Nature does not provide that many foods that have vitamin D. I'll just name them real quickly. Egg yolks, which have not been considered a health food. Pork, liver, not necessarily health foods. Algae, mushrooms. That's it. And fatty fish. That's it. Those are all the foods on planet Earth that have vitamin D in it. So that's why we need to supplement. We're not going to get it from the sun either. There are a lot of reasons why we're not going to get it from the sun. I could go on and on about that. It's hard to get it just by eating right. So basically, we need to supplement. And NECAN provides 1,300 international units of the good stuff, the vitamin D3, which is more powerful than vitamin D2.
And you know, while you've been talking about that, I just as a reference point, I was curious because what are we talking investment wise? We're talking a little over $100 a month for somebody who is critical to turn their life around. And in a 3 to 6 month time frame, out of your own pocket, you know, yeah, your insurance is not going to cover it. However, is your health worth it? Are your bones worth it to see that kind of change?
Sure.
We've had people share on this call. Karen Eastwood is one. That just a phenomenal turnaround, and not just her bones, but her heart, because she had some heart issues. I'm not making a claim here, because as Karen attested, as she shared on this call, that she inquired about having her pacemaker taken out, because
wow.
It was her heart literally became that much stronger with the Bone Health Trio, and that's where there's more than just our bones; it's our organs, as you mentioned.
Santa, if I may interject, and this is what I want people to understand, to a great degree, it's also about the hip fracture. If someone breaks their hip, it's typically going to because that they have osteoporosis. Now, many people don't realize this, but 24% of those people who break their hip are dead in 12 months or less because of that. 1 out of 4 who break their hip will expire within the next year as a result. So this is a big problem for us. 75% will never fully recover. It really needs to be about the hip. Get hip to the hips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we lose height? Can we get backaches from the most common bone break, which happens to be a stress fracture to the lumbar vertebra, which is usually from osteoporosis? Can we get a stoop back? We can get all that. But it needs to be about the hip, because that's what kills people.
And that's one of the things that we can totally prevent. I have to think also, too, the quick thought that pops into my mind, the jade green zyme. When you talk about key foods that are rich in minerals and the color and the vibrancy of them, maybe that could be a contributing factor to my score. And I'm not saying that my score is the perfect specimen, but I've been utilizing the jade green zymes ever since Nikan introduced it, and a half a teaspoon under my tongue every single morning, and a lot of times in the afternoon, kind of as a pick-me-up if I'm feeling a little sluggish. I was laughing when you asked me the other day if I was a vegetarian, because you said that's how most vegetarians would take it. I just don't like the taste of it in mixed with any drink. I just don't. It just makes me gag. But under my tongue, I mean, I love it. And now I'm introducing that to our youngest, who's 2 years old. And it's wonderful to watch her, you know, squawk like a little bird and tip her head back, and I just dump it in. And she thinks it's the grandest thing on the face of the planet. But
well, it may be the grandest thing. I mean, if you we mentioned this the other day, that if you could just design the perfect food based on much of what I just mentioned, it would be young organic barley grass, and that formula that Nikan uses for the green zymes is fantastic for bone health. But you know, Nikan has had the all-star team on the field for many years, even before the Hall of Fame pitcher entered the mound, which is the bone health pack. I mean, Nikan has had all the elements in place, which a lot of people don't realize. I mean, we've had things like green zymes, Siaga, the sleep system, the water system, all of which are very, very good for bone health for many reasons. I mean, the cardiostripes, a lot of people don't realize that those were actually designed for osteoporosis, for small Japanese women who had issues around stress fractures and osteoporosis. So whether or not that's going to be a big part of the wellness home in the future, I don't know. But Nikan has all of the pieces in place to support the osteodense, and osteodense is the big thing. I mean, that's no one else offers what Nikan offers for bone health. It's an incredible package.
And I can't help but think, especially with the introduction this last year, of a higher source of alkaline water with the Pymag Sport bottle and the waterfall, that we're scratching the surface on what we can do in all these different areas to basically set our bodies up for a complete success package.
When you talk about waterfall, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that our bones are actually 50% water. And I've mentioned the benefits of going alkaline. Well, that's what the waterfall is certainly going to offer someone. And the detrimental effects of having toxins enter our body, which weakens our bones, well, the waterfall offsets that. That's the perfect bone health formula for water, is the waterfall.
Yeah. Well, Ken, you've been way too gracious to me. I said I would take 30 minutes of your time, and you've given me 45. I so appreciate this, and I know this has been beneficial, because I'm looking at my notes, I've heard you two other times, and I'm thinking, why am I still writing? Well, no, this is all new stuff that I just wrote down, because I've got my notes from the last two sessions. So I want to thank you, and I want to remind people that are listening, if Ken shared something that was pivotal, and you think this is valuable information, this entire conversation is available at www.saturdayamlive.com. That's www.saturdayamlive.com. And you can just scroll down until you see Dr. Ken Howiak's name in bold red print, and click on there, and boom. And then once it's playing, you can even take that link and email it to a friend, because I'm convinced that this type of information, as Ken shared earlier in our conversation, that his friend Rachel felt convicted enough to send out 72 letters, and this led us down this journey. And I would imagine, Ken, that you look back and think, wow, I am internally grateful for her.
Absolutely.
And what she did for you. So thank you again for being with us. I appreciate it greatly. And
thank you, Ben.
I look forward to connecting with you again. And I know there's a lot of information that we didn't get to, but I think we scratched the surface and just opened up our awareness to everything. So I'm going to wish you a great weekend. Thank you again for being on the call, and say goodbye and sayonara and adios to everyone else. Have a great, fantastic weekend. And again, www.saturdayamlive.com is where you can check out the recording of this conversation. So have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.